You have your Bibles, turn with me please to our text this morning, Daniel chapter 4 and verses 1 to 37 as we continue in our series, Dare to be a Daniel. Daniel chapter 4, verses 1 to 37, and since we've read the first 18 verses already, I'll start in verse 19. Then Daniel, also called Belteshazzar, was greatly perplexed for a time, and his thoughts terrified him. So the king said, Belteshazzar, do not let the dream or its meaning alarm you. Belteshazzar answered, My Lord, if only the dream applied to your enemies and its meaning to your adversaries. The tree you saw, which grew large and strong, with its top touching the sky, visible to the whole earth, with beautiful leaves and abundant fruit, providing food for all, giving shelter to the beasts of the field, and having nesting places in its branches for the birds of the air. You, O king, are that tree. You have become great and strong. Your greatness has grown until it reaches the sky, and your dominion extends to distant parts of the earth. You, O king, saw a messenger, a holy one, coming down from heaven and saying, Cut down the tree and destroy it, but leave the stump bound with iron and bronze in the grass of the field while its roots remain in the ground. Let him be drenched with the dew of heaven. Let him live like the wild animals until seven times pass by for him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree the Most High has issued against my Lord the king. You will be driven away from people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like cattle and be drenched with the dew of heaven. Seven times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone He wishes. The command to leave the stump of the tree with its roots means that your kingdom will be restored to you when you acknowledge that heaven rules. Therefore, O king, be pleased to accept my advice. Renounce your sins by doing what is right, and your wickedness by being kind to the oppressed. It may be that then your prosperity will continue. All this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. 12 months later, as the king was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon, he said, Is not this the great Babylon I have built as the royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty? The words were still on his lips when a voice came from heaven. This is what is decreed for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Your royal authority has been taken from you. You will be driven away from people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like cattle. Seven times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone He wishes. Immediately, what had been said about Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He was driven away from people and ate grass like cattle. His body was drenched with dew of heaven until his hair grew like the feathers of an eagle and his nails like the claws of a bird. At the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven and my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified Him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as He pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back His hand or say to Him, What have you done? At the same time that my sanity was restored, my honor and splendor were returned to me for the glory of my kingdom. My advisors and nobles sought me out, and I was restored to my throne and became even greater than before. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of heaven because everything He does is right and all His ways are just. All those who walk in pride, He is able to humble. And let's pray. Lord, we read this account and Lord, we have to say, we do not want this to happen to us. I pray, Lord, You just teach us this morning how much we do need to humble ourselves and submit to You and Your authority and Your plan for our lives. Pray You come to us now by the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray You open Your Word and teach us from it exactly what it is You want us to know. I ask all this in Your name. Amen. I never claimed to be a great preacher. I never even said I was good at it. But right now, my sermons are all over the internet and three different secular radio stations. My sermons have taken me and Sue all over the United States and different parts of the world. And over the years, they've given us the opportunity to witness to and counsel with literally thousands and thousands and thousands of people. So I am proud of the fact that God does use what I say for good things. But a couple years ago, I was preaching in another church, and when the service was over, a little boy came up to me and he said, I was going to put my money here in the offering plate, but I'm going to give it to you instead. I said, well, why would you do that? He said, because I heard my dad say you're the poorest preacher he ever heard his entire life. God has a way of keeping you humble and making you submit to Him, doesn't it? Just like He did with Nebuchadnezzar here back in Daniel's day. And the text we have in front of us this morning tells us all about it. We're in a series at Fox River right now, a series called Dare to Be a Daniel, looking at all kinds of things that God has called us to do to stand up and be a Daniel in the tough times we're living in. And today we see that in order to be a Daniel, we also need to humble ourselves and submit to God and His authority. And to see that, we turn this morning to Daniel chapter 4 and verses 1 to 37. In Daniel chapter 4, King Nebuchadnezzar has another dream. And in our text today, Daniel interprets it for him and tells him he needs to humble himself and submit to God. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today we need to humble ourselves and submit to God too, especially with what's going on in America right now. Our text this morning, Daniel chapter 4, verses 1 to 37, tells us three things that we need to do to be a Daniel and submit to God like He wants us to. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to do to submit to God, we need to beware of pride, which is exactly what Nebuchadnezzar does not do here in verses 1 to 17. And he really needed to. Because Nebuchadnezzar was the most powerful king in the most spectacular city, in the greatest empire that the world had ever known up to that point. Penthouse suite in the Hanging Gardens, garages full of Maserati and Lamborghini chariots, partied with Jeffrey Epstein on his private jet, more Twitter followers than LeBron James. King Nebuchadnezzar was all that and a bag of chips. And he had absolutely everything he needed in the whole wide world except God. Because Nebuchadnezzar thought that he himself was God. Because he'd forgot what Daniel told him back in chapter 2, verse 37. That all his power and dominion and glory had come from what? Had come from the Lord. Had been given to him by God. So verses 10 to 17 here, God gives him a dream. Where Nebuchadnezzar is like a tree growing up to the sky. With branches that give food and shelter to all living things. And then verses 13 to 17, an angel comes down from heaven and announces the tree is going to be cut down. And the stump and the roots are going to be covered with iron to preserve them. And for 7 years, Nebuchadnezzar is going to toss his cookies and live like an ox, eating grass out in the wild. God was going to cut him down to size. And why? To make him realize, verse 17, that God is God and not Nebuchadnezzar. See, the problem wasn't Nebuchadnezzar admiring the kingdom that he had built. The problem was he never gave God any of the credit for it. And God deserved the credit for it. In Isaiah chapter 42, verse 8, God absolutely will not share His glory with anyone or anything else. So pride is stealing that glory that really belongs to God. Pride is the first of the seven deadly sins because it's the cause of every other sin there is. Pride is what made the devil the devil. And pride is the number one thing that separates us from God. So it's not wrong to feel good about making the honor roll, or winning a state championship, or getting praise at work, or being incredibly handsome like I am. What's wrong is thinking it's all about us. The unholy trinity. Me, myself, and I. Too much I and me, and not enough him and he. And what's the cure? Finally realizing there is a God and you are not Him. Beware of pride. But the problem is, America today is all about pride. It's all about me. Look at me. Notice me. Pay attention to me. Every single one of us has a pride problem like Nebuchadnezzar, don't we? And if you say you don't, that really means you do. Because it's even prideful to say you're not prideful. And we see that pride everywhere. Every day, Americans take 1.4 billion selfies and download 16,000 of them per second on Instagram because people are in love with the look of their own face. God, why did you say pride is a sin and then make me so awesome? Only 30% of Americans still bother going to church on a Sunday morning. Only 25% of Americans still believe that the Bible is really the Word of God. Pride is believing that stupid lie that this nation can somehow survive without the God of our founders and the God of our fathers. Rapper Nas, who sold those Satan shoes, said this, "Nobody's opinion matters but mine." Pride. And that pride is sending him straight to hell. Washington, D.C. has a mask mandate. And yet, here's Joe Biden coming out of a restaurant in Washington, D.C. last Monday night, doesn't have a mask on at all. Chicago, Illinois has a mask mandate. And yet, here's Mayor Lori Lightfoot at the WNBA championship game there last Sunday night. She's the only one not wearing a mask. Folks, what does that tell you about what the leftists think about COVID and about masks and about us? See, the rules are for thee, not for me. Pride. Last April, bride-to-be Colette Moreno and her best friend, maid of honor, Ashley Tebow, were in a Chevy Malibu headed toward Colette's bachelorette party in Lake of the Ozarks, Missouri. When they just had to take that selfie that you see right there. But as they were taking that selfie, the car accidentally swerved into the left-hand lane and they collided head-on with a Dodge Ram pickup truck. Colette Moreno died 1 week before her wedding day. Don't tell me, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18, pride doesn't go before the fall. Amen. Folks, just like King Nebuchadnezzar, we don't acknowledge God, some way, somehow, our kingdom is going to fall. This year marks the 100th anniversary of the founding of the Communist Party in China. And because of that, over the last 100 years, China has become one of the most powerful, most evil, anti-Christian countries the world has ever known. Because they are hell-bent on taking over the world, and especially the United States. China today has the biggest standing army of any country in the world. They are creating and arming up artificial islands in the South China Sea that controls over $5 trillion of world trade every year. They've made treaties and given weapons to all kinds of America's enemies all over the world. They're occupying Bagram Air Force Base now that America's pulled out of Afghanistan. And right now they are this close to invading Taiwan. November of 2019, the Chinese Communist Party purposely released the coronavirus out all over the planet to bring the nations of the world to their knees and get Donald Trump out of the White House. And last October the 12th, China test-fired the world's very first hypersonic nuclear missile that can hit any country from anywhere in the atmosphere, and there is not a missile defense system on the face of the earth that can stop it. Scary, people. But what's even worse, the Chinese Communist Party continues their all-out war against Christianity. During the Cultural Revolution, Chairman Mao murdered millions and millions of Christians and destroyed all kinds of churches and seminaries and torched gazillions of Bibles because the communists, the only God is the state. And communist officials in China continue to arrest Christians and church and pastors in underground churches. They tear down steeples and bulldoze church buildings. They dismantle search engines and Bible apps so the Chinese people can't look up anything about Christianity on the internet. The Chinese Communist Party has even come up with their own version of the Bible now that replaces Holy Scripture with Buddhist Scripture and sayings of Confucius. You talk about a country that's got a demonic pride problem. And what's God doing about it? Because nobody else is going to do anything about it. Joe Biden isn't going to do anything about it. The United Nations aren't going to do anything about China because China runs the United Nations. And the European Union is their biggest trade partner. But do you know what God is doing to cut China down to size? Most people don't know China's economy is this close to collapsing. And you know why? You know what the biggest reason is, if you can believe it? Depopulation. Back in 1971, when China's population was nearing 1 billion people, the Chinese Communist Party came up with a one-child policy. Every married couple could only have one child. Any more children than that either got adopted out or they got forcibly aborted, especially the girls. But now, over the last 5 years, China's realizing they're running out of people because there's not enough younger generation to replace the older generation. China right now is down 400 million kids, and there's 40 million more boys than there are girls. Uh-oh. So 2016, the Chinese Communist Party scrapped their one-child policy, told parents you can have as many kids as you want. But the problem is, in the last 5 years, there hasn't been any baby boom at all in China. And you know why? Because that one-child policy has conditioned an entire generation of young married couples to be so proud and so selfish and so self-centered, they don't want to make the sacrifices that it takes to raise more than one kid. God waited 100 years to judge communist China for their pride, and that judgment has come. The wheels of God grind slowly, but they grind exceedingly fine. China today is in serious trouble. And now it's too late to make up for the population line, because they were too proud and blew off the very first commandment that God gives the people in the Bible. Genesis 1:28, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. It's true for individual people. It's true for individual nations. Pride kills. The first thing we need to do in order to submit to God, we need to beware of pride. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to do to submit to God. We not only need to beware of pride, we also need to humble ourselves. And that's exactly what God is trying to get Nebuchadnezzar to do here in verses 18 to 33. Because this is the whole point of God turning him into a beastie boy. Not to destroy him, but to save him. To get him to humble himself and repent. And holy Simon Bar Sinister, does Nebuchadnezzar ever need to repent? Because Nebuchadnezzar loved killing his enemies way too much. By roasting them alive, and skinning them alive, and crushing them underneath sledges, and drawing and quartering them with horses. Jeremiah chapter 52, Nebuchadnezzar took Zedekiah, the last king of Judah, killed his sons in front of his eyes, and then blinded Zedekiah so that their murder would be the last thing he ever saw. Then frog marched him in shackles to Babylon, where he died in prison. So verse 27, Daniel tells Nebuchadnezzar, repent. Stop doing bad things and start doing good things. And if you do that, you'll be spared the judgment that God has said He's going to send in your life. And verse 29, God gives Nebuchadnezzar a whole year to repent. But he just blows it off. Until one day, verses 32 and 33, when Nebuchadnezzar's kissing a mirror and singing, Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way, God reminds him of this dream. And Nebuchadnezzar loses his mind and he starts living like an ox. God says, you think you're more than a man? I'll make you less than a man. How about those apples? And folks, we need to realize, this isn't just a story. This isn't just a fantasy. Because there really is a psychological disorder out there called boanthropy. People who have it really do believe that they're an ox or a cow. Amen. And critics say, well, Kevin, there's nothing in the Royal Babylonian records about Nebuchadnezzar going through anything like this. Yeah, and you know why? Do you post your junk on Facebook? All the bad stuff that happens to you? Of course not. Neither did Nebuchadnezzar. Archaeologists have found Nebuchadnezzar's royal records are totally blank for the years 582 BC to 575 BC. Gee, 7 years, just exactly like the Bible says. Ancient Greek historian Abedina said this, Nebuchadnezzar was stricken with a disease in his mind and lived for 7 years like the cattle as punishment from the gods. Folks, this really happened. And listen to me, if this can happen to the high and mighty king of Babylon, it can sure enough happen to you and me. Amen. So let me ask you this morning, what is that pride problem in your life? What is that pride problem in my life? If you can never say please and thank you, you've got a pride problem. If you can't forgive people who hurt you and you hang on to a grudge, you've got a pride problem. If you're never wrong about anything, if you never apologize or say you're sorry, you've got a pride problem. If you keep track of your likes and follows, if you have more pairs of shoes than Imelda Marcos, if it takes you 2 hours every morning in the bathroom to get ready to go to school, you've got a pride problem. If there's no guy or girl who is good enough for you, if there is no church that's good enough for you to go to, if you're spending more time updating your profile on your phone than you are renewing your mind in the Word, you've got a pride problem. I don't know who it is, but I'm preaching to somebody here today. It took Nebuchadnezzar 7 long, miserable years to humble himself and get his mind right. There's somebody listening to this sermon right now. Let me ask you, how long is it going to take you? What more do you have to go through to get your mind right and humble yourself and turn back to Him? How far do you have to fall before God will pick you up and bring you back? Humble yourself. And I realize this goes totally against the prosperity gospel that says everybody's supposed to live the glorious, victorious, Holy Ghost, Spirit-filled Christian life. But the God that we believe in still does let people go through some stuff to try to get them to humble themselves. Actor Alec Baldwin has always been a huge leftist and a huge atheist. And over the years, God has taken him through all kinds of humiliating things, trying to get him to humble himself and repent. Everything from public intoxication to racial slurs to verbally abusing his daughters, you name it. And he's never done it. Last Thursday, October the 21st, on a movie set outside of Santa Fe, New Mexico, actor Alec Baldwin fired a prop gun that for some reason had 5 live rounds in it and killed a cinematographer and also seriously wounded an assistant director. And of course, Alec Baldwin is totally torn up about it. But last year, when Alec Baldwin heard about a policeman in Los Angeles who shot and killed a black murder suspect, Alec Baldwin couldn't help himself, got on his anti-racist high horse and said this, "I hope he suffers from knowing what it feels like to kill another human being." Gee, who feels like that now? Listen to me. You don't humble yourself, God will do it for you. Last July, Dr. Anthony Fauci said this, "Attacks on me are, quite frankly, attacks on science itself. Because everything I have said is all based on science. So if you disagree with me, you are disagreeing with reality itself." Folks, you talk about somebody full of themselves. The guy thinks he's the Oracle of Delphi. But then last August, Dr. Fauci was discovered to have lied under oath to Congress about funding gain-of-function research at the Wuhan lab. And then just this past week, we find out his National Institute of Health has been doing all kinds of sadistic experiments, even immobilizing 8-week-old beagle puppies, locking their heads in boxes so that sandflies can chew their faces off and crawl up their nose and eat their brains. And those researchers even snipped the vocal cords of those puppies so they wouldn't have to hear them screaming and yelling while it was going on. And investigators say there was absolutely no medical benefit to doing those experiments at all. They would induce labor in pregnant women, take the newborn babies and harvest their organs. Amen. People, that's not Dr. Fauci, that's Dr. Frankenstein. And the guy should not only be fired from his job, he ought to be sent to prison for crimes against humanity. Amen. But you know what? In spite of all the damage that Dr. Fauci has done, in spite of all the deaths that he is responsible for all over the world, for the lies that he told, and his involvement in this coronavirus, the God that you and I believe in is still so gracious. If Dr. Fauci would humble himself and repent and turn to Jesus Christ, God would still forgive him. I don't know if I would, but God would. Humble yourself. There's Christians that need to humble themselves when it comes to vaccine mandates. Because you speak out against vaccine mandates in any way, shape, or form, right away they say, "Well, are you a doctor?" No, and you're not either. And to stupidly imply that every single doctor all over the planet is for vaccine mandates is totally ignorant, because there's all kinds of doctors everywhere, Harvard and Yale and Johns Hopkins and Oxford, that speak out against vaccine mandates, and they've got all kinds of scientific evidence to back up their opinion. We don't need a vaccine mandate. COVID infection rate is down another 60% just since September. And the vast majority of the 90 million unvaccinated Americans have already had COVID, which means they have natural antibodies which are 27 times stronger at preventing COVID infection than the vaccine is. This vaccine is the only vaccine in the history of the world that doesn't work, and then the people who don't get it get blamed for it. And now Big Pharma's telling you to line up for your fourth shot. Not just the first two, not just the booster, but a fourth. Do we see that this is never going to end? And can you imagine the holy hell it would be flying if it was Donald Trump trying to force people to get a vaccine? This past week, an FDA panel voted unanimously to give the vaccines to 5 to 11-year-old children. And one of the persons on that panel, Dr. Eric Rubin, said this: "We won't know how safe the vaccine is for children until we start giving it." That's just the way it goes. Which means, parents, your kids are going to be lab rats because, that's just the way it goes. Here's the latest facts about the vaccines. Israel has the highest vaccination rate of any country in the world, and 99% of people hospitalized there for COVID are fully vaccinated. Singapore has 85% of their population vaccinated and has the highest COVID infection rate in the world. 75% of all COVID deaths in the UK are now people who are fully vaccinated. And vaccinated people there are 9 times more contagious than unvaccinated people. Europe and Scandinavia have stopped all masking and vaccines for children altogether. In Europe, you are 7 times more likely to get sick with COVID and 10 times more likely to be hospitalized if you are fully vaccinated. Dr. Mark Moy of Johns Hopkins University said this: "There is no medical benefit whatsoever to vaccinating perfectly healthy children, especially because children are far more susceptible to the adverse effects of the vaccines, like blood clotting and cardiomyopathy." Tell me again about the science. Because it's not about the science, it's only about the compliance. And I have all kinds of Christians telling me, "Kevin, just shut up and get the vaccine because that's what Jesus would do. Just wear the mask and get the vaccine because that'll impress unbelievers and help bring them to Christ." Really? Because let me ask you, how many people has your church brought to Christ in the last year and a half because you wore a mask and got vaccinated? Because I can tell you for sure, by the grace of God, my church has brought a lot of people to Christ in the last year and a half, and we haven't pushed masks or vaccinations at all. Amen. Humble yourself. There's Christians that need to humble themselves when it comes to submitting to government authority. Because they find out that you're against vaccine mandates, they say, "Well, Romans chapter 13, verse 1 says obey governing authority. Government says get the vaccine. You don't get the vaccine, you're disobeying God and the Bible." I don't know how many Christians have told me the exact same thing. But here's what they don't get. Romans chapter 13, verse 1 does not say obey governing authority. Greek word, hupokouo. Romans chapter 13, verse 1 says, "Submit yourselves to governing authority." Greek word, hupostasso. So, Romans chapter 13, verse 1 does not say, "Blindly obey like sheep everything that government tells you to do." It says, "Submit," which literally means you voluntarily place yourself under governing authority as long as certain conditions are met. So it's something you're supposed to choose to do, not something government is supposed to force you to do. And how do we know that? Because God's people disobeyed governing authority all through the Bible. Daniel chapter 1. Daniel disobeyed Nebuchadnezzar's governing authority by refusing to eat the king's slop. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego disobeyed governing authority by not bowing down to the golden statue. Acts chapter 5, Peter, James, and John disobeyed governing authority in Jerusalem by continuing to preach in the name of Jesus. And God blessed all that disobedience. We see God's people disobeying governing authority all through world history. And thank God they did. If patriots in America hadn't disobeyed governing authority, we'd have never fought the American Revolution and the United States of America wouldn't even be here. If we hadn't disobeyed governing authority, the North would have never fought the South and freed the slaves in the Civil War. We'd have never fought Hitler or Nazi Germany in World War II. Do you see what I mean? Amen. Yes, absolutely. Romans chapter 13, verse 1, we have an obligation to humble ourselves and submit ourselves to governing authority, but only as long as, Romans chapter 13, verse 4, government is serving God and punishing people who do wrong. But when government doesn't serve God, and they're punishing people who do right, we've got a God-given obligation to disobey that governing authority and not submit to it. Like with vaccine mandates. Vaccine mandates destroy personal autonomy, the right of conscience, personal freedom, human rights, religious freedom. And we see that all around us. So folks, if government bureaucrats with a socialist axe to grind are trying to force you and your kids to take a vaccine when there's mountains of evidence to prove it's absolutely unnecessary just so they can have more power and control over every single aspect of your life under the threat of firing from your job and you losing your livelihood, absolutely we're going to not submit to governing authority. And it totally blows off another authority that God instituted long before He ever instituted government authority, and that's parental authority. The rights of parents to make decisions about the health and safety of their own kids. When government gets to the point they are violating God's law, it's not only a government of Romans chapter 13 that's serving the purposes of God, it becomes the government of Revelation chapter 13 that's serving the purposes of the Antichrist. We will obey God rather than men. Acts chapter 5 verse 29. Yes, we will humble ourselves and submit to governing authority until government tells us to disobey God. But there's some sheeple Christians listening to this sermon right now who believe that you're somehow doing the Lord's work and showing love and being a witness by towing the Marxist Party line and pushing vaccine mandates. You need to humble yourself too. And repent and realize when government goes rogue, you need to obey God rather than men too, just like we are. The second thing we need to do in order to submit to God, we need to humble ourselves. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to do to submit to God. We not only need to beware of pride, we not only need to humble ourselves, but third, we need to trust God's plan. And that's exactly what Nebuchadnezzar does here. Verses 34 to 37. Because after 7 years of hearing the call of the wild, Nebuchadnezzar finally humbles himself, lifts his eyes up to heaven, and sees the light. But verse 35, the God of Israel is not just a God. He is the only God there is. Nebuchadnezzar realizes that. He gets his mind back. He gets his kingdom back. He gets his Twitter account back. And verse 36, God gives him even more power and honor and glory than he even had before. James chapter 4 verse 10. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and He will lift you up. It worked for Nebuchadnezzar. It'll work for you. You repent, God will forgive you. And then God can start restoring absolutely everything in your life that your pride destroyed. Trust God's plan. And people, listen to me. We better be trusting God's plan. Because right now that plan looks like it's all about judgment. Socialists on the left purposely sabotaging the economy by redistributing the wealth and paying people to not work. So inflation is going through the roof. Gas is $8 a gallon in California. And the toilet paper wars have started up again. In less than a year, we went from exporting oil to begging Saudi Arabia for oil. It's the judgment of God. Too many public schools have become indoctrination camps. Costa Mesa, California, teachers throughout the American flag had kids saying the Pledge of Allegiance to a gay pride flag. In America today, one out of every six young people thinks they're either gay or bi or trans. One out of six talk about believing the big lie. Then last Wednesday night, the Illinois State Legislature voted away parental consent. So right now, your 13-year-old daughter in the state of Illinois can get an abortion not only without your permission, but without you even knowing about it. Your 13-year-old daughter in Illinois can't even get her ears pierced without you being there with her. But now she can get an abortion without you even having a clue. People, the most obvious evil in the whole wide world is to kill an unborn baby. And yet Governor J.B. Pritzker has made Illinois the killing fields for that, with the most radical abortion protection of any state in the union. Aren't you proud of your governor? And then last Thursday night for an encore, the leftists in the Illinois state legislature voted away the Right to Conscience Act, which a lot of Christians were using to get out of the vaccine mandate. Because your spiritual convictions, your right of conscience, be damned. Your body and your kids don't belong to you. They belong to the state. And they're going to do to you whatever it is they want. HPV shots, forced abortions, forced sterilizations, you name it. Because if you think they're going to stop at a COVID vaccine, you're crazy. And I've got to say something this morning, and it may sound strange coming from a pastor of a church in Illinois. There's people listening to this sermon right now. If God has not specifically called you to stay in Illinois to fight to the last man, you've got to get out of this state. You've got to get out of this state, out of the land of the lost, and you've got to go to another state where there are political leaders who actually care about you, because you do not have that here in Illinois. J.B. Pritzker and all the other Marxist trolls that strong-armed this law and pushed it through are evil, corrupt, despicable human beings. My God, people, that's why there's a hell. And the only thing I can say is may God have mercy on their soul, because they're certainly going to need it. It's the judgment of God. And it all starts at the top with Joe Biden. Because the judgment of God, sadly enough, has been on that man for years and years, trying to get him to humble himself and turn to God and get right with Him. But it's never worked. Back in 1972, Joe Biden's first wife and little girl died in a horrific car accident less than a mile from their house. Horrible thing. 1988, Joe Biden had two brain aneurysms that forced him to drop out of the presidential race. 2015, his son Beau died of cancer. But did any one of those things, or all those things together, get Joe Biden to humble himself and get right with God? No. Because even though he says he's a Catholic, and even though he goes to Mass, and even though he carries a rosary in his pocket everywhere he goes, he dumps on the things that Catholics are supposed to believe. By pushing abortion, and gay rights, and trans rights, and illegal activity by promoting illegal abortion. People, there is no way on God's green earth that you can be a real Christian and purposely dump on God's Word. 1 John chapter 3, verse 6. And because of that, the judgment of God is on Joe Biden right now, because he obviously has dementia. Former aide Mike McCormick said, Joe Biden has lost 50% of his mental capacity in just the last 5 years. And he's brought that judgment of God on America. Last October the 21st, Joe Biden said this at a town hall meeting on CNN.
Emergency responders be mandated to get vaccines, and if not, should they be stay at home or let go?
Yes and yes. Those who just try to make this a political issue. Freedom. I have the freedom to kill you with my COVID. No, I mean, come on. Free.
Joe Biden is leading an administration that mocks your rights and your freedoms. People, your government is treating you like the enemy. It's the judgment of God. Now compare that with President Donald Trump, who wasn't like King Nebuchadnezzar during the exile. He was like Persian King Cyrus after the exile, because he blessed the Jewish people, and America got blessed because of it. President Donald Trump was the most pro-Israel, pro-life, pro-religious freedom president in the history of this country. And unlike Joe Biden, Donald Trump did get humbled by God. Last October, when he was diagnosed with COVID, and nobody had any idea how sick that man really was. Because by the time he tweeted out last October the 2nd that he had been tested positive for COVID, his blood oxygen level was already down below 80%. This close to being put on a ventilator at the White House. And over 80% of people who go on a ventilator for COVID die. And because he was 74 years old, and because he was overweight and already had one lung filled with pneumonia, President Donald Trump was in dire straits. White House staff says they still have no idea how that man was able to walk out of the White House and get on that helicopter that took him to Walter Reed Hospital. But you put on a show of strength. White House staff was even making plans to swear in Mike Pence as the next president of the United States. They were convinced Donald Trump was going to die. But at the hospital, they pumped Donald Trump through, filled with Regeneron. 3 days later, he came back to the White House still very, very sick. But then, amazingly, miraculously, God just flat out healed him. And here's what Donald Trump said afterwards. We appeal to the God of heaven, knowing that it's only Him and His Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to save us from our sins, that can save us and this great nation. It's the Lord that we appeal to and cry out to, because He truly is the only hope that we have. Donald Trump was humbled by God. So the question we all have Why did God then allow Donald Trump to lose the election, fraud and all, and allow Joe Biden to win the election, fraud and all, and get in the White House? I'll tell you why. Because that served God's purpose for this country. Because verse 32 says, God raises up kings and tears them down, however He wishes. Notice, not however we wishes, but however He wishes. Because God does not need our advice or our permission to do anything. Verse 37, everything He does is right. God wanted the Jewish people to have life and blessing. But the Jewish people purposely disobeyed God and did exactly the opposite of God wanted them to do. So God raised up King Nebuchadnezzar to bring about the consequences of that bad choice. And the Jewish people had nobody to blame but themselves. And people, don't tell me that's not exactly what God did in America with Donald Trump and Joe Biden. Daniel chapter 8 prophesies that after the Babylonian and the Persian Empire, a king of the West would rise up who would conquer the known world. And we know from history that was Alexander the Great and the Greek Empire. But that prophecy also said there would be further multiple fulfillments of that prophecy as we get close to the time of the end, with other kings of the West who would be associated with goats. And because the United States of America is the most powerful nation in the West, the kings of the West are talking about presidents of the United States. The early part of Daniel chapter 8 said a king of the West would launch an attack against a ram with two horns, meaning Iran and Iraq today. And then September 11th, 2001, a king of the West named President George W. Bush was reading a book called My Pet Goat to school children in Florida when 9/11 terrorists attacked America. And then President George W. Bush went on to declare Iran the number one terrorist nation in the world and to invade Iraq with Operation Iraqi Freedom. Prophecy fulfilled. Daniel chapter 8 then said there would be another king of the West, another president of the United States who would make his nation very great. Daniel chapter 8, verse 8. And he would be as stubborn as a goat. And he would have a temper. And he would attack what is now Iran. And we know that that king of the West was President Donald Trump. Because President Donald Trump was like a goat in a china shop. And he had a temper. And he was stubborn. And he canceled President Barack Obama's Iran nuke deal. And assassinated Iran's number one terrorist leader. And what was President Donald Trump's campaign slogan in 2016? Make America great again, from Daniel chapter 8, verse 8. President Donald Trump was the 45th president of the United States. The word 45 in Hebrew is mem he. That word also in Hebrew literally means what? Like, what happened? How in the world could that have happened? November 2016, Donald Trump defeated Hillary Clinton, the entire leftist establishment of the Democrat Party, the liberal media, and many people in his own party to win the presidency. Very next morning, reporter Megyn Kelly on Fox News said this, "Millions of Americans are waking up this morning thinking, what? How in the world could that happen?" The name Donald means world ruler. His middle name, John, means graced or blessed by God. So don't tell me that Donald Trump was not a world ruler that God raised up and put in office to be a blessing to His people and make America great again. Just like Daniel chapter 8 verse 8 said. And now a lot of people recognize Joe Biden as the next king of the West. And what has that got to do with what's going on in America right now? Well, Joe Biden's last name in Hebrew, Biden, is three letters. Beit Dalet Nun, because there's no vowels in Hebrew. The first letter, Beit, is also a Hebrew word that means alas. Like panic or worry. Like alas, the end of the world is coming. But alas what? Well, the last two letters of Joe Biden's name in Hebrew are Dalet Nun, which says Den or Dan. Genesis 49 verse 16 says Dan will be for the judgment of his people. So Joe Biden's last name in Hebrew literally means alas, judgment has come. And folks, that's exactly what Joe Biden has brought to this country from the very nanosecond he started signing executive orders in the Oval Office his first day in the White House. And how do we know that Joe Biden's administration is going to be all about judgment? Because do you know what day, Election Day 2020, do you know what November 3rd, 2020 is on the Jewish calendar? The 17th day of Nisan, which, what do you know, was the exact same day when the rain started falling on Noah's Ark. And God destroyed the world through a flood in judgment. Genesis chapter 6, verse 11. People, you can't make this stuff up. Daniel chapter 8 goes on to say, then there will be another king of the West who will fight against four countries or groups of countries, and out of that conflict will arise the little horn. Daniel chapter 8, verse 9, who is the Antichrist. So the administration of Joe Biden is going to set up the rise of the Antichrist and that demonic one world kingdom. Donald Trump brought God's blessing to America. Joe Biden brings God's judgment to America. God wanted Americans under President Trump to repent and turn to Him and receive life and blessing. But the American people purposely obeyed God, manipulated the 2020 election, and did exactly the opposite of what God wanted them to do. So God raised up Joe Biden to bring about the consequences of that bad choice, just exactly like the Bible tells us. And I know somebody's here today thinking, okay, Kevin, that means everything's over with. It's all chiseled in stone. It's all been predetermined. We don't have any hope and everything's going to hell. No. No. Because just like the judgment on King Nebuchadnezzar, the judgment on America right now is still conditional. Yes, that day is coming when the rapture is going to happen. A president of the United States after that is going to fight with four countries or four different groups of countries. The conflict is going to bring about the Antichrist. All God's plans for the end are going to be fulfilled. And judgment is going to come once and for all. And I believe that day is really, really close. But do we know exactly when that's going to happen? Of course not. Because God is no respecter of persons, and God is no respecter of time either. So we deal with the day at hand. And just like with King Nebuchadnezzar, if we repent as a nation, God will still forgive us, He will still heal us, and He will still restore us for as much time as we still have left on God's calendar. And Joe Biden, and all you leftists who listen to my sermons, and I know you do because you call me and you send me letters. All you leftists listening to this sermon right now who support Joe Biden and his radical agenda in destroying this country and destroying our rights as Christians, you need to know something. Our God is stronger than your king. Amen. If God can take care of King of Babylon, He can certainly take care of a political hack like Joe Biden. Because verse 37, God is able to humble anybody, anybody who walks in pride. There's still time for America to get right with God. But listen to me. If America's going to repent and turn back to Him, we've got to repent and turn back to Him. We've got to humble ourselves. So let me ask you this morning, what is it in our lives that we need to submit to Him today? That we need to humble ourselves about so that we can take it to Him and be delivered from it? What is it? There's people listening to this sermon right now, you're not saved. You're not a Christian. You never confessed your sins to God, put your faith in the blood that Jesus shed on the cross to take away your sin. You never asked Jesus to come into your heart and be saved. Listen to me. You need to do that right now. Because the same God who promises to forgive you when you repent has not promised you a tomorrow to repent in. After the service is over, you get up out of your seat and you come forward and you give your heart to Jesus Christ. There's people who will pray with you. There's other people sitting in this church right now. Something is wrong in your life. And it's been wrong for a long time. Because nothing works out. Maybe it's a problem with your finances. Maybe it's a problem with your job. Maybe it's a problem with your family or your kids. Maybe it's God putting you through some stuff to get you to humble yourself and repent and get right with Him. After the service, you come forward. We'll pray. We'll take that to the Lord. Come forward and just get the caliper straight again. Because you've kind of veered off. You need to come up here today and kneel down at this altar rail and just acknowledge again that He is God and you're not. That your life does not belong to you. It belongs to Him. You are not in control. He is. After the service is over, you come up and you do that. And I want to tell you right now, you know what's going to stop you from doing it if you're thinking about not coming forward? It's pride. Not wanting to admit that you need something. Not wanting to admit that you need God. Not wanting anybody to see you come forward. They have no idea what you're coming for. The service is over. You come. People here will pray with you. Let's get right with God. Let's set the calipers again. Let's realize the Lord of heaven rules. We're going to sing this song. Lord, reign in me. Can we honestly say that? Can I say that as a pastor of this church that I want the Lord to reign in me and in my life? After this song is over, we'll pray and you come.